Hey, it's Kieran from the Kieran Paul Show, obviously. It'd be odd if it was another Kieran, although it might be better. Maybe. Right, so the reason I am here is to talk to you again about my latest project, Rubbish Snooker, which uses littered ring pulls and littered bottle lids to make art on an outdoor pool table. It's really simple, obviously. But the cool thing is, I'm doing a live show in Medway on Saturday the 6th of April, talking about the art. And the show is in partnership with Ideas Test. And Kevin from Ideas Test sat down with me and had a chat. And I thought I would pop it here, just in case you wanted to listen to it. So it's about 25 minutes long. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. Just listen maybe to an old Kieran Paul show. If not that, there's loads of other decent podcasts. Actually, some better than decent, if I'm honest.
I'm Kevin Grist. I'm talking to Kieran Paul today. I'm best known, I think, for Electric Medway in the Medway Towns, which is a digital arts company. But for this project, I'm working with Ideas Test on some neighbourhood work, particularly down the Luton Road area. And this is where Kieran comes in. With some of his interesting recyclable work, which he'll talk much more about. Kieran, do you want to say who you are? Because you're sat right next to me.
Yeah, so I'm Kieran. Kieran Paul. It's nothing. My name is nothing to do with the game of pool. I keep being asked that whenever I talk about Rubbish Snooker, which is the art project. I've just got my parents to thank for my surname. But yeah, so I moved to Medway a couple of years ago, and was shocked by sort of levels of litter, and then went on to create something called Rubbish Snooker, which we're about to talk about.
Interesting. I mean, before we start and dive in, I'm here with the Medway Messenger. And
that's not my nickname. That is a newspaper.
No, that is not your nickname. But you are on the sort of lucrative page three, actually.
Yeah, it's a disappointing page three, probably.
Well, yeah, particularly, yeah, yeah. But, you know, you're in here and you're talking about the sort of reason why you do this kind of work with recyclables and stuff. And I notice in this picture you're wearing exactly the same shirt.
Yep, that would be true. It's extremely likely that I would be wearing exactly the same clothing in any photo a week later. I mean, to be fair, the Mona Lisa, the picture in the paper, she's been wearing the same thing for 500 years and no one ever talks about that. But yeah, I am wearing exactly the same shirt. It's a nice shirt, yeah, that is a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, it is, to be fair. I mean, it's for continuity, right? So when we can edit all this, you're in
yes,
the same...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And as well, it must be added. So it's obviously, we'll talk about this a bit more, but the art takes place on an outdoor snooker table. And as you can actually see in the photograph in the newspaper, there's rain in the photograph, and it absolutely smashed it down with rain that day when KMTV, which is part of the Kent Messenger, were recording in my garden. And today, if we look outside, again, it is smashing it down with rain.
Just so, follows you around, really. I mean, this snooker table, does that live in your garden?
So, yep, so it's a 7-foot table. So it's technically a pool table, but I play snooker on it. Yeah, it's an outdoor table, specially designed. So I've always wanted a table since childhood. And I live in a one-bedroom house. There's no chance a table could fit in it. Well, it could. I just couldn't use it because you need 12 by 15 feet for a pool table because of the queue, you know, the queue each way. So you need an extraordinary space. And when I moved here back in November 2021... I randomly chose the house because I was working from home at the time. It didn't matter where I lived. I come from North Kent in Hartley. And I loved the garden in that property. And I didn't think, oh, that looks good for a pool table. I just thought that would be fun to have a garden. And then I found a company that makes outdoor pool tables. I bought it. I could have bought a car with the money, essentially. Knew that it would be a phenomenal investment and used it as a pool table, would you believe, for several months. And then I decided, oh no, actually, pool tables are better to be put for use in putting rubbish on.
A lot of people listening will think you could have bought a car. But, I mean, tell me, go back a bit, what made you start all of this rubbish snooker stuff?
So I started litter picking. So I moved here and then I was... really surprised by the level of litter near me. And so I joined a litter picking group. So I was doing regular litter picking. And then a mate said to me, like, why don't you try and fill the table full of litter? And I was like, well, I don't want to ruin my table. I'm not going to do that. And the more I got thinking about it, I thought, well, lids could work because of the colours. And they're sort of universally sized, i.e., like, they're circular, so they're quite manageable in terms of, like, they're like pixels, if you think. So, and I thought, well, I can easily clean them. So I said to him, okay, I'll do that. So I said, I'll try and fill the table with colourful lids that I've found littered. Let's say it will take 6 months, and it took 2 months because of the levels of litter. And so I had this snook table full of 1,604 lids.
Oh, well.
And all littered, and that was like... I was like, oh, okay, now I'm done. That's it, cool. And he was like, what was the point of that then? I was like, well, yeah, fair enough. So I took a nice photo of it, and it was, you know, it's nice social media content. And then I think people keep asking me, and I kind of give a different answer each time because I'm not entirely sure, if I'm honest, why I then started doing art. The first thing I did was the Scream, Sir Edvard Munch's Scream. Mm-hmm. It then went from there, and then I did the Mona Lisa. I think when I did the Mona Lisa, which took 2 days, I was like, oh, this is actually quite cool. This is quite interesting. But I can't say I'm too sure why I decided to make art out of the rubbish.
Well, I'm reading here about in the Messenger about you've done a load of 100 pieces of art, and some of them, such as Coldplay's Chris Martin dancing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and American basketball player Michael Jordan slam dunking.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with these? Do you then go on to sell them?
Yeah, so what I do is so you've got a 7x4 pool table full of lids, right? Uh-huh. And ring pools as well, I should add. And then I go up a ladder, my neighbour's ladder, my neighbour Lee, her ladder. So it's, you know, it's a neighbourhood thing. And I go up her ladder, I take a photograph of the you know, from what height, sort of 8 foot above, 12 foot, I don't know, encapsulating the piece. And then that gets that photograph, that square shaped photograph, then gets printed on canvases. And those canvases are actually made out of recycled plastic bottles. Mm. Now, I don't make them, a company in Swindon do, and then they go straight to the customer. Mm. It's as much eco as I can possibly do. But yeah, so the actual, like, if you were to scratch the canvas, you like it would be kind of a strange material because, it's out of old recycled plastic bottles.
What do your neighbours think up on a ladder?
So it's quite fun. So like I'm really good friends with my neighbours, which is you know, they can become good friends as we were taught across the 90s and noughties. And now it's coming back, actually, isn't it, that show?
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny one was where my far neighbour, Ryan, he plays a lot of the game Risk. The big board game with, like, there's a world map, and I don't really understand it, but it's like all about territory. Anyway, so I'm doing the world map on my table. And I just hear a shout from the a window, and he's from his bedroom window, so sort of quite high up, and he's like, "You've missed out. What was the kind? I think it was New Zealand, or it was New Zealand and Hawaii. I'd misplaced New Zealand, and I had missed out Hawaii." She's like, "You've missed out Hawaii," and I was like, "How on earth do you know this? Like, do you study geography?" And he was like, "No, I just like Risk." So, and I thought he meant like as in risk taking. So I was like, "Is this a risky thing? Looking out a window, watching me? What were you worried about?" And he's like, "No." The Risk game, the board game. But they like it. And he does say often that he'd just watch me make these things in my garden and tries to guess what I'm doing. I'm really annoyed, though, because Google Maps or Google Earth haven't gone overhead yet and captured it. So I really want, I keep checking my garden on Google Earth is still the previous owner. So I like it that like the table and a piece of art happens to be on it when I don't know how they do it once the drone or whatever goes overhead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know you've made it when you end up on the Google Map conspiracy videos where people zoom in on the maps and find out weird things.
Well, especially if it was a Mona Lisa, I suspect, exactly. After the Da Vinci Code film, I really don't like that, could be really confusing.
Right in the middle of Medway, yeah. this is really interesting. You're going to take this into a kind of live show, aren't you?
Yeah, so this is cool. So for context, my background, I was on the stand-up comedy circuit in London for sort of 10 years, and I've done a lot of sort of presenting and performing, and I wanted to combine those things with Rubbish Snooker. So at the Invicta Social Club in Luton, which is in Medway, I am doing a live show on Saturday the 6th of April where I'm going to be doing basically like a live talk about what rubbish snooker is, a couple of anecdotes about the pieces of art, and then they have a full size table indoors, weirdly, which I assume it was a mistake, and they just couldn't move it. But there's an indoor full size 12-foot snooker table. A 12-foot snooker table is huge. Like, unless you've ever seen one, you don't realize how big they are. And they've got one, and we're going to cover it with lids. And then what's going to happen is we're going to have a challenge. In the second half of the show, anyone can see if they can pot three balls while a little triangle of reds while the table's covered. It sounds easy, but it's not, because the lids will be flying around. But also, one of those red balls was littered, and it's broken. So one of those, it's actually quite funny, a litter picker friend of mine found a pool ball littered in Medway, and a big chunk of it's been taken out, and it's, you know, it's a bit worse for wear. And the idea being, it's obviously really hard to pot, so that it could be quite fun, because I think it's going to be remarkably hard. So yeah, so that so it'd be a live talk, sort of Q&A, and then like a challenge for everyone to try and take on.
This is like really, you know, you're taking it into social club in a sort of pub social club environment. How do you think it's going to be received?
Hopefully, well, I mean, listen, like, it's odd. Like, whenever I try to explain what Earth rubbish snooker is, it's just better if you see it.
Yeah.
When I try to explain, as soon as I say outdoor pool table, people just get confused anyway, and that's, they're lost. So yeah, I'm hoping like it's they're going to enjoy it. A piece is already up in that social club. A Spitfire piece. It's called Spitfire Sunset, so it's a Spitfire plane going into the sunset, essentially. And ironically, that piece, when I made it, really annoyingly, a Spitfire flew over my house the day after it, which is so annoying. If it had only had flown over my house that day, that would have been unbelievable.
Bad timing. So that's on the 6th of April?
Saturday, 6th of April evening, yes. Yes, 7 p.m.
At the Invicta Social Club. And you're doing some engagement workshop activity a bit before that as well, aren't you?
So workshops in libraries and schools, you know, teaching people about what rubbish snooker is, but also it's all about idea generation. So the workshop will look at how you can take two things that have never been put together and make something out of it, i.e. litter and snooker, two things that have never been combined, make a brand, make something pretty cool out of it. And that's that's the idea. And I'm going to say to people, well, take an environmental issue, any environmental issue, and get some sort of sport or culture. You know, let's just say Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or Eminem or Adele or Beyonce, Rihanna, Taylor Swift. Take something and then combine it with an environmental issue and just see where you go. Like, you know, if someone had said, make, you know, combine snooker with litter, I would have been like, what on earth? Mm. What on earth is that? So that's the idea of the workshops.
It's really cool.
And you can find more about those by going to rubbishsnooker.com, and there's a workshops page.
Awesome. So we'll look out for that as well. I mean, with my ideas test work in the Luton Road area, we've been doing a whole load of interventions over the last year or so. So the most recent one being Luton Lights, which happened at the social club. And a lot of the stuff we're getting back is around sort of stories, you know, local based stories and people really coming together about place. And why is Luton Road of interest in terms of kind of the environmental messaging?
Well, I heard this extraordinary fact about Luton Road, which is a road I regularly drive on, and it was saying how the life expectancy of children there is reduced because of the incredible levels of air pollution. It's one of those facts you're like, really? Like, how, you know, like, surely central London, places like that. But actually driving along it, you quite often get stuck in traffic because there's regular stoppages for schools, but also there's a fair few traffic lights. And I suppose if you're a child and what, you're 3 foot or 4 foot, and you know, that is a sort of height of a car's exhaust all coming up, and yeah, I can imagine that, like, it's probably not the most pleasant thing walking along there as a child from school. And something that I would never have thought of. I used to walk to school all the time, but I guess, yeah, if there's loads of cars and stuff like that. But yeah, the idea of the air quality in one singular place that can be different to the surrounding areas blew my mind. I mean, it's almost, to me, it's almost unbelievable, but then logically, I guess it makes sense.
Mm. It is a massive health inequality issue in that area, and there's rubbish out in the streets for various reasons in terms of, like, you know, short-term lets of certain houses. And, you know, I've almost got run over a few times just working down that road because it's so dangerous, and there's a school down there. And so, yeah, it is an interesting sort of use of sort of creative activities to start opening up the conversation about the environment and environmental issues. I'm interested about Where do you get all of these flipping plastic lids and ring pull stuff from?
I just drink a lot. I love a Lucozade. So what happens is about 75% of them are littered, and then the rest are upcycled. So when I say upcycled, I mean from friends and family, their own usage. So, you know, they might collect them up, their milk lids and stuff, and give them to me to use. Other litter picking groups send me them now, so I get donations of littered lids from all over the country, actually, now, because other litter picking groups know what I'm doing, which is really cool. Yeah. So that's really nice. There's a lady in Nottingham, Teresa, who sends me a box regularly. She has a project of picking a plastic bottle up every day. And she goes out on a canoe, or something like that, and she does the rivers as well. And she put, I might be wrong about the canoe, but as in like some sort of thing, you float on a plastic water floating device thing. And she collects the bottles from the sort of canals and rivers there. She will send me the lids, and she finds an extraordinary amount. I do the regular litter picks. But to be fair, whenever I walk, like even in the car park today, I picked up a bottle. And I will just pick up lids wherever I go, and then obviously wash my hands. The lids are then washed, so I wash the lids, and so they're completely sort of sterile, and then go on my table. And then, ring pulls as well. Like, hopefully having heard this, like you listening will realise, like, these cans are everywhere. Like, you don't realise until someone says it. They are absolutely everywhere. Stella Artois cans, Red Bull cans, absolutely everywhere. I've got at least 10,000 lids now, a collection in my shed, and about 8,000 ring pulls.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds an extraordinary amount, but it actually, if you were to put 10,000 ring pulls on the snooker table, it's not actually that many.
Really?
Yeah. So, for instance, in the newspaper in front of us, the Mona Lisa image in the newspaper there, her hair, I did her hair out of probably Stella Artois ring pulls. And that's about 1,000 ring pulls that make up her hair. Now, looking at that image, that doesn't look like 1,000 ring pulls. If you imagine that as 1,000 littered cans, you then start thinking, crumbs, that's a lot. Because 1,000 littered cans is a lot, but ring pulls are so small. So what I do is I take the ring pull off, and then obviously I recycle the can. And when I first started doing this, the guys that pick up collect the rubbish bags on a Monday morning must have thought I have the most crazy weekends, because I had this incredible amount of an absolute array of, it wasn't just always one drink, like you had every drink you've ever heard of in my see-through plastic recycling bags to be collected. And the absolute irony is I'm teetotal. So I don't drink. So I've got all these cans of, you know, these drinks and stuff, and I not one of them is me. The boring sort of Coke bottles and squash bottles are me.
Now, am I right? You store these. You've separated them into different colours.
Oh, obviously. I mean, obviously. Who wouldn't? I mean, crumbs. Like, you know, every cool guy who collects lids. That's what people think as well. They think I'm a lid collector. I don't collect the lids. Like, I don't have much interest in the lids. Like, I'm not like display. The lids are something that I use to make the art. So people think I've got this this love of lids. No, I don't actually collect lids for the love of lids. They're just a functional thing.
I've just got this image of you getting really excited every time a box comes.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes through.
Yeah, well, I do.
You do.
But it's not the actual sort of color. It's not like Pokemon cards or anything like that. I do. They're all separated into like shade and different heights.
Are there any colours that you really struggle to find, like rare ones?
Yeah. Again, this is the man I've become. Like, I get excited by a pink lid. So a Lucozade, it's like a Lucozade sugar free, I think, or something like that. Is a pink raspberry. Raspberry is a pink lid or yellow. So pink and yellow are rare.
Right.
Brown. I've only got about 5 brown lids, because very few drinks have brown lids.
Wow.
So
if anyone has any of those colours, what do they do?
Get in touch, go into rubbishsnooker.com or recycle them. Listen, as long as they're recycled, I don't mind. Just don't litter them. Yellows and pinks and browns. But I mean, blue is really common. So a lot of water bottles have blue, and see-through now as well, because all milk lids are now see-through. So I've got an awful lot of see-through lids, for want for a better descriptive word. They're the most common because of water bottles. Actually, water bottles are probably the most littered. So right. I've talked about all the cans I find, but yeah, especially obviously in summer, it's extraordinary the amount of water bottles. If you've ever watched a marathon and all the water bottles on the road, right? And they're all collected, okay? They're all collected by a team. But sometimes it feels like I'm doing that just on a normal day in summer, because you'll find hundreds of water bottles all over the place.
Wow.
But in winter as well. So like today, so what we're in February now, but water bottles everywhere.
I've seen a preview of some of your the show you're going to be doing. What shocked me the most was some of these bottles and cans you found. They're not recent ones, are they? They've been there for quite some
goodness
time.
Goodness me. Yeah, so the oldest can I found was 1976. I say I found, a fellow litter picker found it while I was litter picking with him. Wow. I found a can from 1987. Just walking along in Walderslade near Morrison's. It was just sat there. Cool. It was just sat poking out the ground. Recently, we found, when I say we, I say it was a litter picking group, we found stuff from 98. We knew that because it had the World Cup advertised on it, France 98. So the oldest is 76. And then we regularly find stuff in the 80s and 90s. And then even stuff like 2005, which doesn't seem too old, but that's 20 years. Well, coming up to 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's just sat there for like 18 years. And I like the idea of the 87 can. Like someone has walked along there, it's an old Pepsi can, and they've got rid of it. And it's not being touched by anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, not that people like to touch litter, but the idea that like before I was born, someone had chucked a piece of litter down, and it's then over 30 years later, nearly 35 years later or something like that. It's been picked up.
Yeah.
And then not just disposed of, used for art as well, which I guess makes it even more interesting. But I'd love to know. Yeah, I'd love to know who dropped it. Listen, we can all drop litter, like as in accidentally, like you know, some of this stuff is probably dropped accidentally. I think that has to be added. Like we're not.
Yeah.
But the majority of it probably isn't.
Yeah.
But we've all, you know, I've littered accidentally before. Of course I have. Like we all have. It's almost impossible not to, I think. But I certainly haven't just thrown something on the ground just because I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Do you know what bugs me the most? And people, in drivers, wind down their windows and chuck cigarettes and stuff out on the road.
Quite heartbreakingly, and this was the last time I saw you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We met discussing rubbish snooker, and I was driving back, and I was driving behind a van, and they threw a vape out of one window and a vape out the other window. So I assume the passenger and the driver was vaping.
Yeah.
And vapes are far worse than cigarettes because they've got electrical stuff inside them. But obviously they're pretty solid and they're plastic. And and they're quite heavy as well, like as in if they hit you. But obviously these didn't. But yeah, so basically I was coming back from having a lovely chat with you about this lovely eco art, and then I'm sat behind this van. One chucked out of one way, and I was like, oh man, like you could have just kept them in your car, like, or your van. It doesn't take much room up. And then just stick them in a bin, man. Like, it's not hard. Yeah. So stuff out of vans. And there's a particular road, Heron Way, which we litter pick a lot. Mm-hmm. That's the worst I've ever seen.
Interesting.
I've seen things there that you wouldn't, I mean, you see like regular fridges and two piece or three piece suites that are in decent nick. Quite regularly,
just chucked.
Yeah, mattresses, but also like, I've seen the strangest things, and a lot of them, I believe, are out of a car because it's on a part of the road where you wouldn't have pedestrians because there's no path. You know, this is all assumption, but it's probably a correct assumption that they're being thrown out of a car. There is one place on the Heron Way, so there's like a bank and there's a load of woods, okay,
yep.
And that's where we litter pick and. Regularly, there is around 10 to 12 water bottles, okay,
whoa,
in the same place every time. In every single individual water bottle is a cigarette that has been put out in about a centimetre worth of water. Mm-hmm. That suggests to me that it's a driver that is driving along and then puts his or her cigarette out in the bottle. Quite clever, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But just chuck it when you get home, you know?
Just
recycle it or something. I don't know. It's not hard. But they, to be fair, it's quite an effort to pull over, then walk down the bank, and then get rid of your 12 bottles every week. Just, I don't understand why they just don't take them home.
Yeah.
But to me, that has to be a driver. And that always, like, it makes me laugh, but then at the same time, it's like, oh, no. Mm. And then further down the road by a bus stop, every week there is about 20 to 30 Stella Artois cans in the same place, in exactly the same place. Which is incredibly disheartening, and it's very regular. But of course, I'm the silly idiot that goes and picks it all up. So I guess they think the fairies come and get it. And
this is it. It's like every time someone does that, someone else has to at some point pick it up. So it's it just pushes back the, you know, the kind
it's
of
it's just a cycle, goal, really.
It? Yeah, it's kind of there's loads of food for thought here. And you know, the I think this kind of work's really interesting, really important. So just remind people, how can they get involved with what you're doing, but also just remind people about your show.
Yeah, so on Instagram, just search for Rubbish Snooker. And if you just Google Rubbish Snooker as well, rubbishsnooker.com is the website. The live show is at the Invicta Social Club in Luton, which is in Medway, not in Luton, Bedfordshire. You can go there if you like, but
you'll
feel free.
Feel free.
The 6th, the Saturday, the 6th of April in the evening, about 7 PM. I'll be there and we'll have fun.
Cool. And just to say, we'll be promoting it. It's a produced event by Ideas Test, and we'll be promoting it on our website as well, which is ideastest.co.uk.
Lovely.